Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, I'm only 28 years old, so what we're about to do is going to seem rather irrelevant on your part concerning me. But I want to play a little game with you tonight. We like to talk about the good old days, right? And sometimes many of you, I'm sure, long for the good old days. How many of you think about whatever you refer to as the good old days? Anybody? All right. Think about the good old days. Say amen. All right. Say amen. This is what I want you to do. Say amen if you remember when. Say amen if you can remember when you cleaned your rug by hanging it up and hitting it with a stick. Anybody? A few of you. All right. That's a long time ago. What about when you could walk to the grocery store and rattle off your list to the clerk and then he'd go fetch them for you? Anybody? A few of you? What about when the movie theater was cheaper on Saturday and you didn't have to worry about what you'd see? Right? I don't go to the movie theater, never have, but I know that there was a time when you could. What about when, you remember when you got the latest news from a something called the radio? Anybody? What about when the doors of your home were seldom locked? How many of you remember the time when you didn't know you were poor because, well, everybody else was just like you? How many of you remember when hobos might stop by your house for food and then do a chore to pay you back? Anybody? That was a long, long time ago. How about when you knew all your neighbors? Anybody remember that? Say amen if you can remember the time that mother would can all the vegetables she could before winter hit. Anybody? What about when you had no AC, but hey, you didn't know you were hot? It was always that way. Say amen if you were, if at school you were expected to pay attention and do what you were told the first time. Amen. What about when most men worked 6 days a week? What about when doctors made house calls carrying all they needed in that little black magic bag? What about the day when gay meant happy? What about when a mouse was something that you put into a trap, not something you set at your desk and held in your hand? How about when downloading was how you got the hay into the bottom part of the barn? What about when a website was where spiders lived? What about when mom said time out? Well, that meant time out in the woodshed. What about when you hoped it wasn't raining when you needed to use the bathroom? How about when our society has come a long way, and I believe that for much of it we can be glad, but unfortunately I feel as though our society has outgrown the need for God. We don't need Him anymore. I believe what we do need, and I believe in my particular case, God has called me to bring to the country of Ireland and the people of Ireland some old-fashioned preaching. Old-fashioned preaching. I'm 28 years old. I'm a young man in many of your eyes. Many of you see me as just a young punk whippersnapper. But you know what? I stand strong on the King James Bible. Not a man on this earth could talk me out of my belief on the King James Bible. I stand strong on preaching. I stand strong on Bible preaching, using the Word of God. I stand strong on my beliefs, and not a man can bring me from them. And I believe that God has me going to Ireland because the people of Ireland need young men that are willing to take a stand like myself. Again, I'm not trumpeting my own horn here, but what I want you to know is that I believe the world today needs some old-fashioned preaching. And you might say, well, what is that old-fashioned preaching stuff? Well, hey, you hear it every Sunday. You hear it every Sunday. I know your preacher. You know, but some might say that it's a tone of voice or somebody that jumps across the pews. Some might say that it's any stuff like that. But what it is the characteristic that sets the old preaching apart. I believe that old-fashioned preaching is bold preaching without compromise. I believe that it's one of the greatest reasons for America's moral washout is the watered-down sermons coming from the so-called pulpits across America. It's watered down. It's trash. It's psychobabble. What we need preachers to stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," without apology. I believe that a preacher without boldness, well, that's like a knife without an edge. It's like a gun without a bullet. And well, I'm a Chevy fan, so it's like a 1976 Chevy Chevelle without that iconic 396 cubic inch V8. You get what I'm saying? We need some old-fashioned preaching because it's just plain not preaching unless it's old-fashioned, I believe. People today are very bold with their sin. They're posting it all over Facebook. There was a day when we would go into the closet with our sin, but now we're coming out of the closet. and we're smattering it all over the internet for everybody to see as boldly as we want to. We need old-fashioned preaching against that stuff. We need people today that are ashamed of their sin. You know, people today, they flaunt their sin. They brag about it at the water cooler. Sometimes even Christians are bold about their sin, saying, well, that's just who I am, like it or lump it. Christians today are saying that kind of stuff. I believe that preachers ought to be bold too in their outcry against that kind of sin. I believe that the need of the hour is prophets of God saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe that. Billy Sunday, great preacher of yesteryear, lived in the early 1900s, and that man preached boldly against sin. You know, he was a drunk before he got saved. Did you know that? He preached much on the wickedness of addictions to alcohol and many other things. And one day he was asked to tone it down. They said, stop offending people. Stop rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. Well, if you know anything about Mr. Sunday's testimony, his reply to that accusation, he replied, I'm not changing my preaching. Let the cat turn around. That's what the world needs today. Men that are willing to stand up and preach like that. Bold preaching is avoided and even many times feared in the 21st century, but not in the old days. So I ask you, think about this. What was the difference that made the difference? What was different about the old day preaching? I believe today that it wasn't the man. It was the message. It was how rough it was, how real, how it was said, what was said, how loud, how well lived. And it was good acting, good accuracy. Or good acting versus good accuracy. It was personality with purity. And it was not this walking on eggshells and stepping on toes. You know what? The truth hurts. I believe, and I said in the last church we were at, I believe that we are in a belief system that is very divisive. You might say that, well, Jesus Christ came to bring peace to the world, didn't he? No. He brought a book that divides. This book is divisive. It divides right from wrong. It's a divisive book, and that's the kind of preaching we need. It was old-time preaching was fiery delivery as much as it was faithful content, and it pounded men, but it produced for God. That's the old-time preaching. However, I believe today that the fire today is also gone. Not only is the message changed, but the fire is gone. Even though the fire wasn't the man, but the message, though it wasn't delivery, but content, I believe that the fire causes more to listen. That fire in the pulpit. Now, I'm normally not a bombastic, speak loud, kind of get in your face person. I'm very even keeled, as I said this morning in my testimony, or in my Sunday school lesson this morning. That's just not who I am. I have to force myself to come out of my shell just to preach. You have no idea how terrifying you people actually are to me. I'm kidding. I'm over a little bit of that. I still get very nervous in the pulpit, and I think any preacher that says they don't, well, there's something wrong there. They're either lying or there's something wrong spiritually with them. But I still get very nervous when I mount this sacred desk. But I believe that God has called me to preach fire in the world, but specifically in the country of Ireland. You know, one day a young preacher asked Mr. John Wesley how to get more people to come hear his preaching. He says, I want bigger crowds. Mr. Wesley very wisely said, allow God to set you on fire and the people will just come to watch you burn. That's what we need. We need men in the pulpit on fire for God. We need fiery preaching. Pray for me, please, that the fire of my content will spread to my delivery. Because I don't have a problem writing sermons. I know how to study the Bible. That's what Bible college did for me. I didn't learn a thing at Bible college other than to study really, really good. That's all I learned. You might say, I went to Bible college for 4.5 years, and all it taught me for the ministry was how to study the Word of God. I believe that wholeheartedly. I'm a preacher's kid. I've seen and heard way more than what I heard and seen and saw in Bible college. I learned in the school of hard knocks. I'm not saying that because I'm some amazing young man. I'm saying that stuff wasn't a surprise to me like it was to other guys. But I learned to study the Word of God and to get sermons and to allow God to preach to me. And I want you to not hesitate tonight especially either to keep me going by saying amen. You know, that's like sic 'em to a dog. And we're a little scared of that up here in the north. I don't know what's wrong with us. We don't really say amen as much as some other believers do. It's just kind of like that whole cultural thing. You know what I mean, preacher? We don't do that as much as other churches do. But I would encourage you, there's nothing wrong with saying amen or hallelujah or praise the Lord. And your preacher might have a heart attack if somebody got up and started running in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe that bold preaching is clear It's concise and it's direct. It should feel every time like it's aimed directly at you. It should feel like that. I believe that the dedicated Christian will seek out a church where they can be uncomfortable. Now, churches today are pushing the message of, well, we need to be a seeker-friendly church. And as such, they're lining their buildings with the most posh amenities. And they're removing the hymn books so that they can extract the words from the songs that are convicting. And they are switching Bibles. There's a great movement coming to the Chicagoland area on the late part of September called the Chicagoland Harvest. And it's a evangelist. I put that in quotes. It's in quotes in the recording too. Okay, Brother Stephen, evangelist. Make sure that's noted in there if you put it on the internet or something. Okay, in quotes, an evangelist is coming to the area and they're going to fill, the name of the center just went out of my brain. They're going to fill a basketball stadium with people. And it's associated with the great Moody Church in Chicago. The D.L. Moody Church that was started there. And this is as liberal as an evangelistic movement has ever come. They're going to bring in several different Christian, in quotes again, Brother Stephen, got that? In quotes again, Christian rock bands to draw in and be seeker-friendly. And they're inviting all of the area churches, regardless of their Christian particular faiths, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, progressive, free church, what have you. This is coming to the Chicagoland area, and it ought not so to be. It's as vile a thing as ever belched up out of the mouth of hell, and I'm against it. I'm against it. But you know what? I believe that we seek out a church. If we're dedicated Christians, we'll seek out a church where we can be uncomfortable. A little boy came home from church one time and asked by the mom. She says, "Son, what did the preacher preach on today?" He thought a minute, looked up and said, "He didn't say." You'll get that like 3 o'clock this morning. Again, it was a joke. I tried, went, oh, it's gone. But you know what? Unfortunately, around our city and across our nation, compromising, pussyfooting, panty-waist preachers stand up and try not to rock the boat and just talk for 30 minutes without saying a stinking thing. That's it. That's all they do. They stand up and give their precious little talks. You know, D.L. Moody said that good preaching will make people get right or they'll get mad. It's going to produce one of those two effects in your life. And I believe, here's the message tonight, that was all introduction, and I'll move quickly. Three areas where we need more old-fashioned preaching, and these won't be a surprise to you, I hope. First of all, number one, we need old-fashioned preaching against sin. The days are gone when sin is preached against. We preach encouraging sermons now so that we don't offend people. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. You know what? Sin. Man calls it an accident, but God calls it an abomination. Man calls it blunder, but God calls it blindness. We say, well, it just happened by chance. No, it was choice. We say, well, it's just a fascination. You know what? That fascination ends up in fatality. You might say, well, it's an infirmity. You know what? No, it's not an infirmity. It's iniquity in God's eyes. You might say, well, it's just a luxury. Well, that luxury one of these days is going to produce spiritual leprosy in your lives. You might say that, well, you have liberty, but you know what? The Bible calls that lawlessness. You might say, well, I'm just going to trifle for a little bit. I'm just going to touch it and feel it and see how it works out to be. It'll end up in tragedy. Sin will. You might say, well, then it was just a mistake. No, that was utter madness on your part. You might say, well, I was a moment of weakness. No, you willfully chose to sin. It wasn't just weakness. You chose. You made a choice. I make a choice every single time I sin. I believe in being positive. I believe it. I believe we should share the good news. But you know what? There is no good news until you first face the bad news. There was a mail carrier. I want you to consider the fact of a mail carrier. Think about it. Person that brings your mail to your house. What if he didn't bring all your mail? What would you do? Come on, what would you do? Well, mail carrier didn't bring everything to your house and you had to fetch it from the post office or it didn't come to you. You'd be upset, wouldn't you? Well, you know what? We need preachers who will deliver all of God's mail that includes the bills he sends when he reads our meters and the summons to appear before him. We need preachers that are going to preach the entire Word of God, not just what makes us feel good or is convenient for them to preach. All we've got today is a bunch of junk mail about how to feel good about ourselves and, well, let's just add to society. That's what it is. We need preachers to tell it like it is. Abortion is murder, not a choice. Homosexuality is an abomination, not an alternative lifestyle. Alcoholism is a sin, not a symptom. It's not just a habit, it's horrible. It's adultery, not just an affair. It's more than just a one-night stand, it's one nasty sin. There is no safe intercourse outside of marriage. It does not exist, church. Those things are still sin. There was a day when that stuff was preached against on a regular basis, and people would come into church and hang their heads for their shame of their sin. But it's not preached anymore. I'm talking about churches across America. I would pray, and I believe that this church is an exception. And I know your pastor's testimony, and I know that that's true. I know you get preaching against sin. But we need to stand up in our own personal lives against these areas, against sin. We need more old-fashioned preaching against sin. You know what? We need more old-fashioned preaching against sin, but also about hell. We need old-fashioned hellfire preaching. We need old-fashioned preachers like Jesus, who preached on hell. He preached on the destiny of the damned. Jesus mentioned hell twice as much as he did heaven in the Word of God. But today, we are petrified as preachers many times to talk about it. Now, I say we. I'm not one bit. But preachers in general across the world are petrified to talk about hell. Preachers who at one time did talk about hell have recanted their hell testimony and said, well, I'm not sure if that's really what we believe. I saw a newspaper that had an ad from a local church which read, this was their title on the top of the newspaper ad. It said, looking for hell, fire, and damnation preaching? Tear up this ad. But if you're looking for a church that preaches a loving, understanding, forgiving God, come give us a try. This was a full-page newspaper advertisement. Let's never forget that the plan of salvation contains some very, very terrifying news at the beginning of it. If you don't get saved, if you're here tonight and you don't get saved, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you die in your sin, never having accepted Him as your Savior, you will die in your sin and spend eternity separated from Him in a very real and literal hell fire. That's the truth from the Word of God. We need old-fashioned preaching about hell. We need old-fashioned preaching on sin, about hell, and finally on sacrifice. We live in a day of comfortable Christianity. But Jesus, an old-fashioned preacher, majored on sacrifice. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to first deny yourself and take up your cross. One day a group of men said to Jesus, we will follow you wherever you go. Jesus turned to them and he said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus was one who knew about very real sacrifice. He was serving notice on these men, and he says, I'm calling you to a life of sacrifice. But today, you know what? Our lives are literally handed to us. We don't do a stinking thing. It all comes to us. We push a button, and out comes the dispensed drinks. We click a button, and poof, there's the thing we used to have to leaf through the phone book for. We climb into our cars and no longer have to wonder how we're getting to our destination. We punch a couple of buttons and it talks to us the whole way and directs us there. Right? Our lives are handed to us. We no longer know anything about sacrifice. But I want you to listen to a note left by a dying missionary in Africa. This was found on his desk. Bear with me as I read this. His note says, and I read, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is, say amen anytime here, wherever you, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. I lean on His presence. I walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. I pray to God that that's my testimony one day. We need more preaching on sacrifice, on hell and judgment, and against sin. In other words, today's message, I believe, starts with a man named Philip Michael Tharp. That's this guy right here. Starts with me. But we also need some old-fashioned Christians who will get seriously sold out for God, who will believe that he can do it again. And you know what? I believe that we need Christians who will get on their knees begging God to do it again and say, God, I'm not leaving my knees until you do it again. This business of hard, old-fashioned preaching, you know what? That's fine to require of the preacher, and well, you should. You should require it of the preacher. But I believe that the reason why it worked in the days of yesteryear is because the old-fashioned preaching was backed up by people who listened to it and then went home and lived it. I have preached this message to myself many times, and I am committing to it again. Will you commit with me to live a life that is old-fashioned? I am not asking you to give up your cell phones. I'm not asking you to trade in your car keys for buggy reins or to go home and cancel your electricity service. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that God's Word is asking us to live according to the old paths, the way it used to be. You see, we can expect the preacher to preach old-fashioned doctrine, but we are all commanded to be preachers. Do you remember that? We are all commanded to live as the preacher is commanded. The book of Mark says that we are all to preach the gospel to every creature. 2 Timothy 4 says that we're to preach the word. That is not just talking to the guy behind the pulpit. Do you get that? Preach the word, church. Be instant, in season and out of season. That's your command as well as mine. Go from this place committing to preach old-fashioned Christianity and to live old-fashioned Christianity. We need to start expecting the same old-fashioned spiritual living of ourselves that should accompany the old-fashioned hellfire Bible preaching that flies out of this sacred desk every single Sunday. We need to expect that same kind of living out of our own lives. You see, I submit to you that today, one of the problems, the major problems in today's churches is not exclusively the contemporary movement. And that's a big one. It's a big movement. And it's a problem. But I believe that, you know what, there are still a bunch of good, old-fashioned Bible-preaching churches out there, just like Loomis Park Baptist Church. I praise God for you people. But I believe that one of today's problems is not the preaching necessarily so much as it is the hearing and the doing part. We hear the preaching. We know what's right. We know the Word of God. And we walk out of the doors the same way we came in. Unchanged, unmoved, unconvicted. This altar is here for you to respond to it. You might say, well, I don't need to go to an altar to meet with God. That's true. That's very true. But I would ask you to consider the fact that all throughout God's Word, he met with his people at an altar. And it might do you some good to humble yourself and walk in front of this auditorium, place your knees or stand, whatever you're physically able to do, at this altar and bow before a holy God and say, I am committing to you, God, to go home and live old-fashioned, old paths, King James Bible Christianity. I ask you to do that tonight. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Decide today to change the way you live so as to honor Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed,